I don't regret one day I've lived for Him. I don't regret one minute I've served Him. Not one second do I regret. I just wish it had been a lot more. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? You know, I only thought I had read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I realized my understanding was kind of elementary. Aren't you glad we're learning so much from the Word of the Lord as we go? Do you appreciate God and what He's doing for us? Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand this morning, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Play some more of that, guys. Thank you. go. Many miles behind me, not many miles to go. Oh, I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret one time I've trusted in His Word. Seen the years go by, many days without a song. But I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning while we look at our prayer request. Brother Bob King is going to come in a minute and take us to the Lord in prayer. He may have a bit of poetry for us. I don't know, but if he does, he's welcome to share it with us. I look at brothers like Brother Bob King and some of my, I'm an old man, but I look at some folks that's a little bit older than I am here in this assembly. And I want you to know that I'm just going to speak for all of us younger people. Us older, younger people. You older folks, you're a real inspiration to us. I want you to know that. Real inspiration. And we certainly appreciate our senior citizens. And I are one. But we appreciate all those older senior citizens. God bless you this morning. Tell you what, you lay somebody up here and all the pretty flowers in the world, they can't smell a one of them. They can't see a one of them. Let's give somebody a rose while they can look at it and while they can smell it. Is that all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. I want to pray for Brother Roberts from Durham, North Carolina, for a leaking heart valve. He also wants to thank God for helping him in other medical problems that he is improving in. So we thank the Lord for that. We just pray that the Lord would be with our brother. Brother Samuel Shuffler says, forgive me for being a little bit too loud in church service. I got too zealous last night. I love you all. So, well, I'm going to tell you this. I'd rather be a little bit loud and a little bit zealous than to be a statue. Amen. I really would. Praise the Lord. Not saying that any of you are statues, but that's a metaphor, okay? Brother and Sister Baker, they want to thank the Lord for answering prayer concerning some financial needs that they had. We owed a lot of medical bills, but our God moved on the scene and took care of them. They sent us a zero balance. Praise be to God. So thank the Lord for that. Brother Amos says to pray for him. He has to go in for surgery on Monday morning for his throat. God is his healer. He believes that. Brother Amos, God bless you, buddy. We'll be praying for you. Brother Larry Elliott sends us in to please pray for Sister Brittany Elliott. She woke up very sick this morning, so let's remember her. The McFarland says on November the 4th, their friend in Ohio has a medical exam hearing to see if workman's compensation will approve for her surgery. It's been 6 months since her injury, and she really needs this surgery. So let's pray that all that would be worked out. Sister Kim Lilly says to please pray for her grandfather, Carl Lilly, who is in the hospital with fluid on his heart and lungs. So let's pray for that need this morning. I want to pray for Brother John Roberts. He's not feeling well, so let's remember him as we pray today. Juanita Buck, she has melanoma, needs a touch from the Lord. Let's remember that prayer request. Sister Lisa Davis says, I want to thank the Lord for a good report after receiving abnormal test results. God is so good, so we praise the Lord for that. I want to pray for Brother Curtis Hunnell's sister in Missouri, who is in the hospital. She has had surgery, so let's pray for that need this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need you'd like for this group to pray about. You believe God's able? Yes. Amen. Brother King, if you come this morning, let's stand. Give our brother a nice hand as he comes this morning. Certainly appreciate Brother Bob King. Those slower steps we now take, Brother Bob, we'll soon reach our goal. Amen. We love our brother, don't we? He and Sister King, just precious, precious, wonderful people. And let's enjoy him while we've got him here. All right. Give him one more hand, if you will. Love you, buddy.
Can I make a little statement?
Well, you can if you want to.
We were asked to preach one time. The man was going to be gone in a little town down in California. And during the service, at the end of the service, someone brought in a little sailor boy. It was AWL from San Francisco, and he come to Oceana, and he come to visit his girlfriend, and she rejected him, and he cut his wrist. I don't think he really wanted to kill himself, but he cut his wrist real bad, and they had him bandaged up, and they brought him in for prayer. We gathered around and prayed for him. You could see the blood coming in the... And the Lord stopped the blood. And the strange thing about it was, we were in an old beat-up building down in the bad part of the town. And there was a retired naval officer visited that night. The only time anyone there ever seen him. And he took this little sailor boy and took him to the bus station, paid for him ticket back to San Francisco, and told him, when you get there, I want to give you instructions of who to go to and what to say. Yeah. And he never got in any trouble. And I thought, now, isn't that just like the Lord? Where two or three are gathered together, he said, I'll be there. And you know, when he comes, he don't come empty-handed. He comes loaded down.
Oh, yes, he does.
And he knows every need of every person in this building.
Yes, he does.
And he has got everything that we need. Where two or three are gathered together, he said, I'll be there. Amen.
Yes.
Let's pray together, Father, for all these many needs. We can't remember them all, Lord. But you're the God of the amen. You're the faithful and true witness. Not only are you the author of our faith, but you are the finisher. And you can finish everything that you started, Lord. Father, we approach the throne of mercy and grace on behalf of those that are sick and suffering. And we just pray, dear Lord, that you will meet every single need, every sick person, everyone that's discouraged, everyone that's heartbroken, whatever the problem is, whatever the trouble is, you're more than able to meet it.
Yes.
And we commit it into your hands. We take these out of our hands and place them in your capable hands and pray that you'll meet every single need, meet every need of every person in this building. Be with the ministry today and be with every heart, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Brother Lewis said that I could have a poem if I wanted to. I used to camp out a lot, my family. We used to camp out a lot in the mountains. And I love to walk in those mountains, beautiful springs and rivers and beautiful little trout lakes. And it's different from here. If you go out here in these woods, you gotta plow through berry vines and stickers. But it's different. If you've ever been out west, it's different. And so I thought, as I walked along that day, I made a little poem. I walked along a trail one day in a wild and wooded land. And as I walked, I wondered if this trail was made by man. Seemed to me a path the Lord might have took. I heard his voice in the rippling brook. His breath on the forest was a fragrant breeze, whispering so gently through the tops of them trees. In the mirror of the lake reflected from on high, I saw his lovely face in the clear blue sky. I saw his character in those trees so straight and tall. And there he sang to me a song of the waterfall. I'm sure it was his voice I heard at the scream of that great golden bird as he winged his way across this wonderland. And then I felt a presence there of a love so divine. Seemed that I could almost feel those nail-scarred hands as mine. And as I walked along that day on this almost sacred ground, feasting on the sight and thrilling to the sound, I thought, how blessed am I, though just a man, to find a place to walk with him in a wild and wooded land. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Bob, how old are you now?
I'll be 87 going on 100.
Okay. Ushers, come get the money. Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate our brother.
Amen.
Amen. If you're a visitor here this morning, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. Certainly appreciate God's grace to us. Those that are streaming the service today, we pray it would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement once again in regard to the shoe boxes. Brother Michael says they're going to be giving those out again this morning after the service. It's for Operation Christmas Child. The shoe boxes must be returned by November the 19th. So please go over there and do that. I think they got about 100 shoe boxes left to give out. And whatever you put in, there's directions over there. If you choose a young lady or a young man or a child, the directions are there. Things that they may need, you could put in that shoebox. And you never stood as tall as when you've been over to help a child. So let's go about our civic business this morning to do that. Will you do that? Everybody try to remember that. Go over to the fellowship hall this morning. Let's sing a song. I know you've been standing for just a few minutes, but it's going to be all right. It's good for your circulation. So let's sing a song this morning. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. How many of you feel like doing something in the name of the Lord this morning? Give him another good hand clap of praise if you love him. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
At the gate called Beautiful, there lay there in the street a poor and lonely beggar who was
right.
Crippled in his feet.
John and Peter passed him,
saw his need was bad. They had no gold or silver, but they gave him what they had.
Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim.
We live in, there's evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear. Oh, but God is wanting soldiers to get out of those pews and to take a hold of the power that John and Peter used.
Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Get up in Jesus' name.
discouraged and overcome with fear. Oh, my God is wanting soldiers to get out of those pews and to take a hold of this power that John and Peter used.
Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the... Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We've got a couple of songs. Sister Alicia Babb, if you would come and get ready to sing for us this morning. Then the choir has a song. It's, as you know, October has been termed Clergy Appreciation Month. And... they've got a song that they want to honor our pastor with, and he's going to come out and listen to it, and I believe it'll be a real blessing to you. Let's enjoy our singers as they sing for us today.
And his only reason was me. that one earthly reason was me.
While we're getting ready, I just like to say this is, as Brother Louie mentioned, probably everybody's familiar with the idea that this is clergy and especially Pastor Appreciation Month. We're really honored here. We have a tremendous pastor and we have a wonderful ministry associated with our local assembly here. But this ministry, this gospel, didn't come free. And it came dripping with blood, and it's dripped with blood ever since that day. And these men have given their lives just like our Savior has. And I'd just like to say, as this group up here, as a local assembly, not only to our brothers here, but across the world, we want to thank you for your blood, sweat, and tears, for your humility, for the times that when we didn't know what you were going through, we were so busy with our lives and our days. Yet you were so unselfish that you gave your life for us. And we just like to say, we appreciate it.
Amen. It was beautiful, wasn't it? Wonderful job, Sister. Thank you all for all that practice and all that time together with all the musicians and all the singers. You can be seated for just a moment. We've got a couple of things I wanted to share with you today. There's a couple of churches over in Tanzania that we'd like to help to be able to finish the construction of their buildings. Brother Zephaniah Peters had gotten sick, and actually these two churches had kind of fell through the cracks as far as getting them completed, and I wasn't aware that they were not done until I talked to Brother Barry Coffey, and he'd sent me some pictures of them, and it just made me feel really, really sad to look at their building. It looked like something that you and I would have abandoned. And there's a couple of them in Tanzania that needed to be finished. And also, Brother Barry is going to a meeting in Tanzania in December. Unlike here, whenever we would have a meeting, people pretty much are able to take care of the motel rooms, their gas, their food, and so on. But when you go on to Africa, India, different places that I've been in, some of his other brothers as well, whenever you go for a meeting, you pretty much have to pay for the meeting. In other words, the people will come in, but they have no place to stay. So they are willing to bring their mats, which is literally a mat about that thick, either foam or grass, and they will try to get a school or some type of building, and they all just stay there. They just stay there at that place. But they have nothing to eat. So we generally try to buy rice or rice and chicken or chicken and, or beef or something where they can be able to make it together. So whenever you have a meeting, you pretty much have to do the whole thing. So I told Brother Barry that we would certainly be glad to be a part of that. Also in Uganda, there was a church there that came from Pentecost, and they came into the message. And pretty much the whole church came, but they, in doing so, they made quite some enemies whenever they came out of that. So just a few weeks back, someone burnt their church down, which they felt like it was someone who had formerly been there. And once the church was burned to the ground, then the Pentecostal organization wanted their ground back. They wanted their, what they call a plot. They wanted their plot back. So I figure if they want to take it back, I want to give them one back. Of course, the church there is not like what we think here. Maybe to put up a simple structure might cost $4,000 to $5,000, something like that. We've already sent the money, I suppose, Brother Jim, to be able to secure the ground. So that initial process has already started. But we'd like to lift something today. I know we do a lot of things here, and I don't really tell you that much about it. And we're going to maybe put up some things on the website to help you to see some of the things that we've done over the world, just a little bit of it. But if there's something that you'd like to give today toward these needs of our brothers and sisters, I know that they would appreciate it, and I know our Heavenly Father would. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, we count it an honor that we live in this nation. Lord, that we have jobs and means by which we're able to help others. I thank you for that, dear God. Lord, you see these needs of our brothers and sisters. Lord, it made me feel so sad in my heart when I saw those pictures, and to realize that these poor children of God were having to worship in these places. So I just couldn't stand it, Lord. I just pray that you would help us today, that we would not only be grateful for what we have, but try to reach out and help others. Bless your children today, dear Father, as they contribute to these causes. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. Give us as unto the Lord, and I know the Lord will give it back to you.
The offering this morning, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We're gonna give all the glory to Jesus. We're gonna give all the glory.
stand together if you would. So appreciate all that you've given over the years to the works of God around the world. One day when we stand before the Lord and the books are opened and what God called the Book of Remembrance and the Book of Malachi, there'll be many great things that'll be attributed to your account. Daniel chapter 5, verse 30. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm.
Amen.
Now that's complimentary, but that is problematic. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Thank you for once again allowing us to assemble together in the house of God, under the auspices of the presence of the Almighty. When we think that we at one time as Gentiles, we were left without the temple, only to be allowed to come into the outer courts. But today we have been beckoned by the King himself into the inner sanctum of his holy confidence and presence. Speak to us today, I pray, Father, from your word. May there be things of eternal value that will be accomplished from this service today. For it's in the name of the word, the Lord Jesus, that we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I want to say we're glad to see Brother Lionel made it back from Africa safe and sound, I hope.
Amen.
Let's read, if you would, again in verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king sought to set him over the whole realm. Last night we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which are living under the administration of Nebuchadnezzar. Actually, they're still under the administration of the head of gold, which was the beginning of the Gentile kingdoms. But even though it's not been but just 3 chapters, from chapter 3 to the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6, but something has taken place. The Babylonian kingdom has now been usurped by the Medo-Persians. And it has now brought in a different dispensation. So in the image of Daniel that Daniel sees whenever it comes from here down to here, it is Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and now it has changed, so it's entered into the Medo-Persian stage, which is the metallurgical symbol of silver. So with that, each one of these would have their own political regime. They would have the way that they would do things. And Darius was quite this unusual type of a man, 62 years old, quite old to be in this type of a position. Yet he was renowned for his strategy. He was renowned for the way that he went about doing things and the way that he conquered nations. The Medo-Persians reigned in a different way. As I mentioned last night, they were not a monarchy in the sense of being a kingly dynasty, how that they would take over and they had no input from those underneath them. But they had divided this kingdom into 120 provinces. So in each province there was a prince, and then there were 3 presidents over those, and then the king was over the top of that. This is the way that the Medo-Persians reigned. Of course, whenever it came from the Medo-Persians directly to the Persians, and then before Alexander the Great, then they changed it somewhat. So the time frame is 536, something like that. The Babylonian kingdom has now been in existence for approximately 67 years. So God allowed it to reign that far, the beginning. beginning of the Gentile kingdom, as you looked at last night. The six is everywhere, 60 cubits high, 6 cubits this way, 6 miles from the city, 666 everywhere as it ushers in the kingdom. But now this is going to bring forth a little bit different image. And Daniel was actually carried over from the Babylonian kingdom over into the king of Darius. Remember, it was Daniel that had prophesied and interpreted the handwriting on the wall. And it was Belshazzar that at the feast that they had called for the sacrament things or the sacred things from the temple. And here the handwriting comes and appears on the wall. Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin. And Daniel is the one who reads it and interprets it. And whenever he does, the king gives him a king of gold and a chain of gold and a royal garment. So here while they're doing this and having their party, the Medes and Persians are coming underneath the city wall. They have diverted the great river that has come into the city of Babylon. And they've now diverted it. And while they're having all this drunken party, the Medes or Persians are coming into the temple. They're going in around the walls and they're actually confiscating the goods. And now they capture it. Well, whenever they do, something about Darius wanting to be a, he was the type of a man that he wanted to have, as I mentioned last night, he would bring in people from different nationalities, different cultures, assimilate them into this government and let them be in charge of ruling. So this, whenever he hears about Daniel and actually finding out that it was Daniel that foretold about him coming into power, he felt it would be wisdom on his part to be able to merge them in. Now, whenever he gets around Daniel and sees that Daniel has this spirit about him, which the Bible, the author of Daniel, calls it an excellent spirit. That Daniel was in politics and he was the highest man in the political order next to the king. But Daniel was not a politician. In that, I mean that he was not concerned about keeping his office for the account of credibility. Daniel would not lie for his position. He would not lie in order to stay in politics. It's a shame we ain't got more like Daniel today. But the way politics has evolved into where it is now, a good man may go in there, but it'll be a miracle if he stays a good man, and even more of a miracle if he's a good man when he comes out. But now we see what's happened here, that the king is actually, Daniel is such a spirit about the man, and the king has so found such great favor, and Daniel has in his eyes, that the king purposes to make Daniel actually ruler over the kingdom. Now he sees within him, now you can imagine what type of an arrangement that this would be. You've got 120 provinces which cover the known world at that time, which they advanced to 127 before the Medo-Persian kingdom actually dissolves. So you've got thousands of square miles to try to cover. You've got all kinds of cultures. You've got all kinds of religion. You've got all kinds of even exchanges of money. So you've got to have it somehow to where all of these provinces are going to be taxed. And you've got all of these amounts of money that are coming into the kingdom. Well, Daniel, because Daniel was not a man that wanted money, didn't want favor, he didn't want honor, he just wanted things to be done right. And this king had found that in Daniel was this excellent spirit, not only as a godly man, but he had an excellent spirit when it come to pertaining to the kingdom of the Medo-Persians. So there was something about it. I wish that we could understand and comprehend this, that God don't want us just to be Christians in praying, Christians in our dress. God wants us to be Christians in everything that we do. Daniel was a godly man even in the affairs of policy. He was a godly man in the affairs of the kingdom of the Medo-Persian. He himself was not a Mede a bit more than anything. He was a Jew. But he felt like God had given him that position, and he was not just serving the king Darius. He was not just serving the Medo-Persians, but he was serving God. Oh, may God help us to realize the same thing. That our testimony does not end here at the church. It does not begin here at the church, but it has much far greater reach and impact out there than it ever does here. So you've got 120 provinces, and you've got all of these politicians now, and with many of them, each one of them wanted to dip a little bit out of the pot, and by the time it came up here to the top, who knows what percentage that Darius was actually getting. So he found that Daniel, in Daniel, laid a spirit of integrity and character, and that Daniel had an excellent spirit. In the composition of an excellent spirit, it has many different attributes that make up an excellent spirit in an individual. Now for them to have long
long hair and a long dress if it's a woman, and to be able to look with the integrity of a man, that's one thing. But they might have that and not have an excellent spirit from within. It can be a very complex and complicated thing for an individual to have an excellent spirit according to their makeup. But it will reflect in all walks of life and everything that they do. You cannot have an excellent spirit and not have honesty. You cannot have an excellent spirit and not have integrity. You cannot have it in all your business dealings if you've got an excellent spirit. So this is summarizing a very big scope of what lays in an individual who has an excellent spirit. Oh God, let me be that kind of a person. So whenever the Bible says this, it sums it all up in a couple of simple, very words, but they are very, very profound when you look at what it takes to make an excellent spirit. Now, the head of gold has now dissipated. It's now gone. 67 years it's ruled upon the earth, and the arms of breast, the arms of breast are of silver, signifying the kings of the Medo-Persians. So it is pleased Darius to be able to arrange the kingdom in this way. Now, because the Medo-Persians looked at the kingdom in a little bit different way than the Babylonians, the Greeks, and the Romans, what they did was they had a king or a ruler, then he would have these princes under him, they would have sheriffs under them, they would have counselors under them, and the king himself could not pass an edict or a law by himself. But he would get what they called in the Persian language a satrap, which is S-A-T-R-A-P. They would get satraps, and it would be through the bringing together of all of these great men that they would make their law. So the king himself could not make this law without the counsel of others. But once he stamped the law, then the law could not be altered or changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians. Now, the reason they would do this was because they felt like that it was absolutely missionaries from all over them that would come together and make the law. So it would be the counselors, it would be the presidents, it would be the senators, as we'd say, the congressmen, and all of them together would make the law. But once they made that law, it could not be altered. That's well and good until you get into a fix like they're fixing to get into. So it pleases Darius to make Daniel over the entire kingdom. Now, Daniel is not going to be king. Now, remember, Daniel is about 90 years old. So he's not a young man. And he's not a man with a lot of strength and vitality as far as the way you look at it. But yet his excellent spirit and his wisdom surpass the lack of strength and stamina that a lot of other younger men would have had. So whenever this happens, notice it's going to bring trouble. In verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Now I'm speaking to you again today on wisdom or compromise. Wisdom or compromise. So the presidents, the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now, first of all, they focus on the direction of politics. And they're looking to see if they can find some type of discrepancy in Daniel's character about the running of the kingdom or the position that he has. Now, he has a very great position, and he's an older man. So being an older man, no doubt they feel like that there's got to be slip up somewhere. There's got to be, every man wants something. Every man has an agenda. Every man has something that he wants to become. He has an element of ego. He has an element of pride. Something that he wants to be in life. So somewhere there must be a weakness in Daniel pertaining to business. There must be some sort of flaw in this man pertaining to this. All men are men. They're all human beings. But Daniel was of another culture. Daniel was of a heavenly culture. Their ambitions are totally different than the world out here. And the world don't even understand them. So what they do is they focus now upon Daniel's dealings concerning, as the scripture said, the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Can you imagine a man living in the Old Testament without the Holy Ghost? And this is his testimony. Now, so they, you imagine, this really upsets them because Daniel being in this high order of position. Now, first of all, we're dealing with the political aspect of Daniel's life. But he runs such a strict office, as we'd say, that everything must be accounted for. So there's no miscellaneous files. There's no pool, you know, to where they're able to divert funds away from the king. And everything is accountable. Everything is answered to. My, everything is just right exactly on the books. So they could find no problem anywhere. And the king kept hearing about it. This man really is really watching out for me. My, this is an unusual sort of a guy. You know, you can scan him through the scanning machine. He has no extra coins dropped in his pockets other than what he had when he come to work that day. He don't have any private estates hid somewhere. He don't have any foreign bank accounts or he's funneling money away from the system. This man is really rare. This is a man of great integrity. Praise the Lord, saints. But Daniel, these are the things now that his enemies are saying about him, that he is faithful and there is no fault in this man. Oh, my goodness. What do your enemies say about you? So he's faithful, he's upright, he's prudent, he's honest, he's a man of integrity, and a man of great character. How in the world are you ever going to get hold of a guy like that? You got to go to his faith walk. Yeah. Now watch in verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. He's not a womanizer. He don't want money. He don't want popularity. We've tried this on him. We've tried that on him. You can't touch him nowhere. The highest testimony that can be paid to a godly child of God is what they're fixing to attribute to this man. And he didn't even have the Holy Ghost. You know, it's amazing how they address him. Or when they're talking about him in verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. You see, Joseph's brothers called him this dreamer. The Pharisees called Jesus this man. The hated people in Paul's day called him this pest. So they always have names for us, don't they? Now watch. Satan also wants to try to get this man if he can. Now we looked at it last night how that Nebuchadnezzar being a monarch, he had the ability to pass rules as will. He was able to do whatever he wanted to do. But that's not so among the Medes and Persians. It's set up on a total different political agenda. So they must work within the confines of the law. So they got to be able to find something in the message of that day that they can set up a law against in order to entrap this man. Well, glory. And they were satisfied that Daniel would not break the law of God, that is. They were so convinced that he would be faithful to the law of God, it didn't make any difference what law they passed against the law of God. They knew his faithful character would walk right into it. My Lord, may my enemies know the same thing about me. May your enemies know the same thing about you, that no matter what laws they pass, no matter what they say, they know our character. They know our integrity. We will not bow. We will not compromise. If it's a lion's den, if it's a furnace of fire, whatever it is, may our integrity speak so loud that they know what we will do. So there is faithfulness. They can't stand it. They said, there's nothing, no occasion we can find against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. But the problem is, what law can we construct that will be able to lure him into this? And he's the king's pet. I like being the king's pet, don't you? That's one thing about our king. He can have millions of them at the same time. But just because you're his pet, I am too. And just because I am don't mean you can't be. But in this situation, Daniel was the king's pet, and they hated it. So 122 brilliant, smart, intellectual men get together. 122. 120 presidents of the provinces and two presidents right up there with Daniel. So you got the king, three presidents, 120, and then the council. So 122 against one. Or maybe I should say 122 against two. Daniel and his God. So yes, I am well outnumbered when you look at the world. You are well outnumbered when it looks at the world. But when you take me and one more, I am not outnumbered. When you take you and one more, my friends, you are not outnumbered. You are more than a conqueror to him. Now watch in verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdoms, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Now they come to Darius the king and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now we're going to give you this special treat. We're going to make you a god for 30 days. And remember, this is the Gentile kingdom. In the last days, Satan will be a god for 3.5 years. But he better enjoy it, because it won't last long. So we are going to make you a god for 30 days. So no one will be allowed to ask any petition of any god. Now remember, the kingdom was very diversified. So you had people that were all kinds of gods. All kinds of people praying. All kinds of petitions that were asked. Isn't it amazing that they would have to pass a law concerning Daniel's prayer life? For most of us, they wouldn't need a law, because we don't have one. Oh my goodness. They would not even need it. They would not need a law. They would need nothing. My, you folks are quiet today. Why? His prayer life. That's where his power lay. And they knew this man was an absolute fanatic when it come to his God. And they knew he was that way when it come to prayer. So they approached the king. And you know, it's very foolish, really. Man is so vain, isn't he? Man is so vain in the way that he is. You think of a man like this, who was a great general, which is actually what he was. He was a great general. He was a great man. A man that could conquer and a man that could do so many things. And yet they would come and say, we want to make you a god for 30 days. So why do I get to be after that? You're just back to a man again. So we want to make you a god of 30 days that nobody should ask a petition of any god or any man except for you. We want to give you this great honor. He said, wow, I'd love to be a god. Just even for 30 days. So he signs it. And of course, Daniel, having great wisdom and great understanding, when Daniel learned that he had signed it, Daniel resolved to go into silent prayer. Verse 8, now, O king, establish a decree, sign the writing, that it may not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, now comes the pressure of assimilation. Now watch what he does. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks. 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 Before his God as he did aforetime. So when the pressure came on Daniel, instead of going underground, he prayed like he had always prayed. Instead of modifying his sermon and, you know, avoiding this and staying away from that and not saying that no more, Daniel just carried on as if though nothing had happened at all. Wow. Now, if this was your name in this book, what would you have done? So now you're the top man next to the king. But they passed this law, so now it's illegal for you to pray for 30 days. So would you just say, well, Lord, you understand this situation that I'm in. I believe that I'm really set here of you, and I believe I'm in the will of God being in this place. So I'm going to stop praying to you openly. I'm just going to, for about the next month, I'm just going to use silent prayer because I'm going to use wisdom. You'd have been a bigger fool than Darius was. Come on, church, don't get quiet now. Why didn't this man alter? Why did not he change? Why did not he just, well, sure, if he wants to open his windows and get down, but just go into silent prayer like we have before communion. That works, don't it? Well, why not just, you know, and instead of being a rebellious type of a person and trying to rebel against everybody and bring more trouble on himself, why not close the windows? That's not the caliber of man that I'm talking about. You see, that may be some of the caliber of people that you all are. Shows that you won't be in the rapture. Because if you're to compromise right there, you're not rapture worthy. If you compromise under the pressure of this last day, of this message, you're not even fit to walk down streets of gold. I don't care how long your hair is, how much money you contribute to this, that, and other. If you don't have a character that matches this word, you'll never be there. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to be honest with you. I want to tell you the truth so we can be changed and be what God wants us to be. So Daniel, he was known. I mean, this is a weakness. Wow. What a great fault to have. I mean, this is your greatest fault of all times. You love God more than anything. You're going to please Him no matter what it costs you. I hope to God, by His mercy and grace, this is our greatest faults. That we're going to please Him. It makes no difference what it costs us. No matter what people say, no matter the pressure they put on us, we're going to serve Him whatever they do. So he goes into his house. Now remember when Solomon had dedicated the temple of God, he made this dedication prayer. He said, Father, no matter where your people are, wherever they are in the kingdom, whatever the nation that they travel to, let them look toward this holy place and let them know you're here. Because the presence of God was located right there, setting upon what used to be the threshing floor that David purchased, which was turned into the house of God. So no doubt Daniel, when he picked his certain spot to live, his condo or his apartment, whatever it was, he wouldn't move on this side because it might have been nicer. He wouldn't have moved over there. It might have been bigger. But Daniel wanted an apartment so his windows would open up and they'd be facing directly toward Jerusalem. So Daniel does not go in there and pray on the other side of his apartment, which he could open his windows and maybe face the throne of the king and make it seem like he was submitting to the law, but Daniel done as he had always done. So friends, what are we going to do under pressure as we always do? We're going to pray. We're going to read our Bibles. We're going to come to church. We're going to sing. We're going to serve God. Come on now. You say, how are we going to behave ourselves if the press comes against us as we always have? We do not have to hide what we believe. Amen. We do not have to hide what we teach. It's right there for anybody to hear it if they want to hear it. We do not have to do that. We can stand up for what is right. Fling open our windows toward Jerusalem, as it were, and pray as we've always prayed. Daniel is not being a smart aleck. He's not being contentious. He's just being Daniel. For Daniel to stop praying wouldn't have been Daniel. Daniel would have shown signs of assimilation because of fear. Oh my. So he kneels upon his knees 3 times a day, which are called the hours of prayer. Now, why didn't he condense it all and make it one? Dear God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. But as normal, he prayed as if nothing was going on. I hope somebody is hearing me. So he prays in the morning before he begins the king's work. He prays at noon when he would come home for lunch. And then he prays in the afternoon. So he prays morning, lunch, and in the afternoon. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. You say, is that really important? Maybe you should ask the Lord Jesus. For it was at the 3 o'clock hour of prayer that our Lord Jesus dismissed his spirit and gave up the ghost and died. At the hour of prayer. So Daniel prays as normal. Goes right in. My, just acts like nothing going on. Takes care of the king's business. Doing this, that, and other. Well, the king, I say, you know what? You heard what the king done? What was it? I said, nobody can't pray. Really? I'm going home to pray. Oh, you mean you're going home to pray? Well, wow, that's what I always do. That's the way I live. And this message is not a bunch of do's and don'ts for a real child of God. It is our life. If that's all this message is to you, is a bunch of quotes and thou shalt not, you've never understood what it's even about. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. Notice what he's doing before his window. He isn't standing. He isn't fanning. He isn't waving. He's praying. And he gives thanks to God. Amen. You're kidding me. The pressure has just been turned on and you're giving thanks? For what? In the midst of hell, you've still got hours to thank him. Amen. In the midst of the lowest time in your life, you've still got so much to thank him for. Amen. Oh my. So hear Daniel's faithfulness. As the Bible said here, as he did, as he aforetime did. So Daniel still found time for prayer in the midst of being the greatest man in the kingdom next to the king. So this was his habitual life. This was something that Daniel got that he had to have. He had to have prayer. It's amazing to me how that we look at it. The more busy most folks get, the less they pray. But that was not the key to Daniel's success. The key to Daniel was, even though he got more busy, he still made time for prayer. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Y'all getting quieter and quieter. He had the responsibilities of watching the books. He had the responsibilities of being the greatest man next to the king. He had the responsibilities of being over 120 presidents, over 2 other men that were there with him. All the great things that was going on. And yet it did not stop him from praying in the morning, at lunchtime, and in the afternoon. And you know what? They've got absolute perfect confidence in Daniel that whenever this edict is passed, he ain't going to change. My Lord, what a thing for the enemy to say. Don't you understand why some of these liars and devils still stream our services from time to time? Because they know I ain't going to change what I'm preaching. They know you're going to still come right on to church anyhow. And that's why they'll get on their why. They're looking for something. That testifies of our faithfulness. They know we will not bow to the pressure of this age. Come on. They know we're not yellow, we're not a bunch of chickens that we won't bow. They call me crazy, they call me stupid, blasphemer, whatever. But in reality, they know I am faithful. In reality, they know you are faithful. May, oh hallelujah, may that be our testimony before our enemies. We are faithful, we are true. We will not bend, we will not bow. You can hang on it, devil, we will be true. They knew Daniel would be true no matter what the pressure said. So Daniel's praying. While he's praying, they're gathering. Look at verse 11. Then these men assembled. So Daniel's praying as he always did, just minding his own business, doing what he's supposed to do. And while he's praying, a congregation is gathering on the outside of where he's at. So you got the presidents and you got the great mighty men, you got them all gathered together and they're all sneaking up. Hear him? He's going, man, I knew it, holy roller, you can't do nothing with them. Now, friends, I want you to correlate this to your own experience. If the President of the United States, through Senate and Congress, passes a law, it is illegal to gather into a church and preach the message of William Branham. Or it's illegal to pray, unless you do it in the titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's illegal to baptize in water, unless you do it in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Are you folks still coming to church? Or are you going to join a Baptist church? Oh, they won't come here, really? Are you sure? We've already lost a bunch of our rights already, whether or not you know it. Come on, children. Oh, Brother Don, that scares me. Oh, I can't say that it don't scare my flesh, but you know what I realize? It means I'm getting closer to a body change. Amen. That's what it means to me. That's what I realize. And look at it. I'm getting closer and closer, Brother Dow, to leaving this place because God will only let them get so close to his sweetheart. And then he'll say, honey, come on home. Come on home. You can't. I don't want you down there amongst them bunch of unbelievers anymore. My wrath has reached its peak. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then these men assembled and found Daniel stealing money. They found him out with somebody else's wife, drinking a little bit on the side. They found him on the internet looking at pornography. And found Daniel praying. What a way to be found. May I be guilty as charged. And they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Amen. No doubt they said, I'm good. You can't change them people. Now they're testifying of his purity. Now they're testifying of his faithfulness. Every time you bunch of devils get on our website and go to looking for faults, you are testifying that I'm a servant of God and I will not bow. Every time you criticize some of these sisters, some of these men that you see, run us down on your Facebook deal, all that sort of thing, you are testifying that we are faithful, we are true, we've not bowed under the pressure, and we won't bow under the pressure. Come on. You are testifying just like Daniel's enemies did. Can you imagine? Daniel is praying, having this wonderful time with God. They've assembled outside and they are so happy. They are delighted. They've caught him praying. Well, if that makes my enemy have such a spell, I think I'll pray more often. If Daniel would have made one little move towards secrecy, it was a sign of assimilation. If Daniel would have just simply closed his windows just a little and turned on his white noise machine. Y'all know what that is, or you got one. Just turn on his white noise machine just a little bit to make it sound like a waterfall. That was compromise. You see, some of you would have classified it as wisdom. It is wisdom which is sensual, worldly, and of the devil. Well, glory. Now you imagine their center. These people, they're nuts. Does he know what he's doing? He does. Does he realize the consequences of this? He does. The lion's den. But he still prays. And they want all these witnesses. Look in verse 15 now. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed." Now remember, they bring Daniel before the king, and when he realizes who it is, he said, "Oh no, Daniel, not you." How was it Daniel, being the main man, was not even included in the making of this law? Because he's got it all in control. Maybe Daniel was in another province. Daniel was somewhere else. And God let it work out. Why? He needed a story written in the Bible like never was and never would be again. So it could be preached by Martin Luther. It could be preached by Whitfield. It could be preached by Clark. It could be preached by men down through the ages. And so it could be preached by me to you today in October the 26th, 2014. So it would bring you courage in your hour of trouble. It would bring you courage in your hour of distress. God needed a man by which he could let this happen to him, that it would be a blessing to millions of people down through time. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Daniel, that you were that kind of a man.
So immediately when the king finds out that it's Daniel, he goes to looking for a way around it. But the law of the Medo-Persians cannot be altered. You can't change it yourself, king. Under Nebuchadnezzar now, he would have just come and said, "I'm the king, I'm the monarch, I'll do what I want to do. You boys get out of here now, or you're fried, hide, leave." But under the law of the Medes and Persians, you can't do it that way. Isn't it amazing how Satan adapts according to the political scenery? He adapts according to what's going on, and he listens for things men of God are saying according to what, you know, what's the hot button issues in politics. Notice in verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." You got to be kidding me. This heathen king, notice he does not call him his God now. He doesn't say, "Your God and my God," because he was not Darius' God. Amen. But Darius had seen enough and heard enough out of Daniel and his God to know, "Your God that you continue." I love the way he said that. The complimentary aspect. He wasn't a Sunday Christian. He wasn't a Christmas Christian or an Easter Christian. He was a continual Christian. He was a 24-hour Christian to meet a 24-hour devil. Oh, glory, thy God whom thou servest. Now Darius is preaching a faith message to Daniel. Glory to God! "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. Now pardon me while I fast forward and go way into the future. When I see another den, a tomb as it were, and they took another man and they put him in the mouth of this tomb, and a big rock was rolled over the mouth of it, and a signet a Roman seal was put on the mouth of this rock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But death could not hold him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, the king put his seal upon that and said, it's so by the law of the Medes and the Persians. But God don't go by the law of the Medes and the Persians. God don't go by Roman law. God don't go by American law. God goes by his law. God don't go by the law of death. When death said, seal him down there, I've got him. Oh, death, have you still got Jesus? Yes, Satan, don't worry about it. It's been an hour and he's still dead. Death, have you still got Jesus? Yes, it's been 6 hours and he's still dead. Death, have you still got him? Yes, it's been 12 hours. It's been 24 hours. But don't you worry, within that 36-hour period, the seal will be broken off the tomb and Daniel will come out. Daniel will come out of those lions of death. Oh, hallelujah. So the king has to seal it with a signet. And the king can't change it. But nothing saying the king can't change it. Verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. But while that's going on in the palace, glory to God, I feel like talking in tongues. While that's going on down in the palace, something else is going on down in the lion's den. The monarch, the ruler, the king, whatever you want to call him, of the known world, has conquered armies that seem to be, could not be taken. And yet he's rolling and turning and tossing. His face is disfigured. He's contorted and twisted around with anguish and sorrow. He can't eat. He don't want no music, which is the normal thing of what they would do for entertainment. They didn't have videos then, thank God, in that day. They didn't have television, internet, and all that sort of thing. So they'd bring musical instruments at night whenever they'd eat. So they'd lay around and they'd eat, and then they'd listen to this music. But the king wasn't in no festive mood. He wasn't in no good mood. But while this was going on, he was up there turning and tossing and turning and tossing on his bed. While that was going on, there was another instance going on down in the lion's den. The angel of God, the same angel of God, which is Christ in theophanic form, that appeared, amen, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was coming down into the den of lions and making himself known to a man who would not compromise. Let me read you this about a lion's den so you'll understand it. The lion's den was a very large pit divided by a movable wall that could be pulled up to allow the lions to go from one side to the other. The keeper would put food in the empty side and lift up the wall so the lions would cross over and eat. He would quickly lower the wall and claim the safe side of the pit. So there's a safe side in the lion's den. All we got to do is find it. The animals weren't fed often or great amounts of food, so their appetites would be keen in case there was to be an execution. These were appetizer lions. That's basically all they got till the main course was thrown down. Living at the gnawing edge of hunger didn't make them too tame. So here we've got this scenario now, this praying man. Friends, I don't mind telling you, Daniel was a human being, probably a human being. He felt frightened as a man. He probably felt afraid. As a matter of fact, I know he did, and I'll prove it to you in a minute. Notice what happens, though, in verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. Very early in the morning, that term, the Hebrew term there, is actually before the sun got up. So before the sun got up, the king got up. He hadn't been asleep no how. He's ever spent nights like that. Well, you didn't go to sleep. You felt, well, I'd been better off to get up. So he had a sleepless night. He had anxiety and stress. So he went in haste, the Bible says. And he went and came to the den and he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. So this man loved Daniel, and he had such remorse that he'd been called into this situation. So with a lamentable voice, a voice of sorrow, a voice filled with pain. Oh, Daniel. Oh, my. Daniel! Oh, Daniel! Servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel to the king, you devil, you serpent seed, you'll pay for this. God's going to get you back. O king, live forever. Now this was the salutation or the greeting or the closing if you would have been talking to a king, by which you would have said. He did not upbraid him for his tyranny. He did not upbraid him or rebuke him for signing that edict. He knew he was tricked into it. Come on, gentlemen, let's be careful of what we say and how we deal with folks. Now watch. Amen. Verse 22 holds the key. My God hath sent his angel and hath... Here's this big ham, I mean human sandwich. And you can't even get your mouth open. You're drooling at the mouth, but your drool is about to choke you to death because you can't get your mouth open. Do you believe God can still shut the mouths of liars? I mean lions? And shut the mouths, the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. But what happened? For centuries, for thousands of years, men wondered what went on in the lion's den. How could this phenomenal have been? What could have happened? But apparently because some more of God's children in my face lion's den in the last day, God inspired his prophet to give us a little more insight. Brother Mammon said he let Daniel hear the roar of the lion and maybe his hot breaths right against him. That lions with their mouths open, hungry, down in this pit. Isn't it amazing how close God will let you and I come? Now, brother, sister, I don't know how close y'all have been to lions. But to be close enough to where you feel one's breath, that's too close for me. Now, I've got a couple mounted in my house, African lions. I've got one that stands about this tall and a big old guy with his mouth open. And, you know, even though he's not real, but I'll tell you one thing. You can come through there at night and look at him, and he certainly looks real. And I wouldn't want to be that close to him to feel his breath blowing on me. But God let Daniel get so close. That's too close for comfort. I've been there, ain't you? Oh, man, when them lions are... You can smell them. You can see them. And they're breathing their breath on you. And he said, them lions with their mouths open, hungry down this pit. And the lions rushed right up to him. You realize Brother Ram said that if a lion ever kills you, you die instantly. He said it's painless death. Because they're scared to death. He said, a lion can kill five men faster than you say Jack Robinson. Now you see Jack Robinson, see how fast that is. You imagine Daniel, he sees it, and they're there, and he knows they're under it. And he feels it on his skin, and his hair standing up on his arm, and the hair standing up on the back of my Lord, mine standing up right now, just talking about standing up on the back of his neck. But he don't move. Now remember, it's dark. There's no light in the den. It's total darkness, which would make it even worse, I can assure you. But the lions have night vision. So they can sense where you are, but you don't know where they are. And you're standing there in the total dark, and you're looking, and you're looking. And those pads, remember the pads on the bottom of their feet, how they can walk through the grass ever so slowly. Ever so slowly, so cunningly, and be right on top of you. Here they're coming right up to Daniel. They're padded feet, and they're coming. He can hear them. He can hear them. And all of a sudden, the first breath. Lord God. The lions rush right up to him with a great roaring blast. They were ready to seize onto Daniel. All at once, he was covered with an angel. All at once, Lord Jesus, he was covered with an angel. Amen. Light swirled around Daniel. No doubt, but it was that pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. And animals are scared of fire. Hallelujah. Notice again, he says, when Daniel the prophet, when Daniel was in trouble, the true God, he stood true to God. And he said, God, I believe your word. And they said, he looked, Lord, everywhere toward the temple and prayed three times a day, every morning. He raised back the curtains and prayed toward the temple. And then Daniel got into a place God wasn't finished with him yet. And he threw him into a lion's den. What? He? God? Praise the Lord. Now God had to make a way for him. Well, I guarantee you, if God throws you in, God's got to make a way for you to get out. Amen. Amen. God will make a way, has to make a way. It's a very way of escape for Daniel. And he sent a big light down there, a fire, like the pillar of fire. And the animal scared of fire, so he ran back. And the lions wouldn't bother him because around Daniel was that big pillar of fire milling light around him all the time. So the lions couldn't get to him. He made a way of escape for Daniel. Oh, Brother Donnie, if I only had that pillar of fire around me, we've got something better. We've got that pillar of fire inside of us. Glory to God. What think you of Christ? I would ask another one to come. I was asking these different Bible characters, what do you think of Christ? What do you think of Christ? What do you think of Christ? Now he said, I'd say, Daniel, that great prophet, what think you of Christ? You come out here just a minute, Daniel, and give your testimony to this Philadelphian church this morning. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? One day from my testimony, they throwed me into a den of lions. While I was standing there, the first thing I seen lions, I heard their soft padded hoofs, or their feet coming rather, their paws. I could feel the breath almost on me. In that dark dungeon, in a few minutes, I'd be torn altogether. All of a sudden, something moved every fiber in my body. I felt something tingling. My face turned hot and chills went through me. As
Sounds like the rapture. Glory to God. Oh. Something moved every fiber in my body. I felt something tingling. My face turned hot. And chills went through me. I see where the eyes of the lion's coming. And the first thing you know, they begin to turn their head and walk away. And when that feeling left me, I looked, standing in the corner, and there stood that one who is the Son of God. Maybe you stand, my friends, and the chills go over and your face turn hot and whatever more. And then when that feeling of fear leaves, you see him standing there in the midst of your battle. I looked standing in the corner and there stood that one who is the Son of God standing there. God had sent his angels to deliver me. I can hear him say that power was upon me. My muscles were just shaking. The power was going through me, tears coming down my cheeks. He's the Son of God. So let me close with this question. What think ye of Christ, the anointed word of this day? Who is he? What think you of Christ? Let's read this verse of scripture. Verse 23 of Daniel chapter 6. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And this will what will happen with those who lay snares for us. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. It's dangerous ground, friends, to touch God's anointed. I ain't just telling my preachers. The bride is God's anointed. Let's bow our heads together. Wisdom or compromise? If the pressure increases on us, friends, for the last days, politically, religiously, whatever, where will we be found standing? Will we go with what some folks call wisdom and, well, we don't preach this no more and we don't say that no more and we cover our tracks so we're not in trouble? Is that the way Happy Valley's going? Is that the kind of preacher you folks want? Is that what you want on your job, at school, wherever it is, at college? Not to be arrogant, not to be foolish, but to stand up. Remember, it's not Daniel going around advertising, I'm a man of God, I'm a prophet of God, bless God, you better not attack me. He was just being what God called him to be. It was the enemy that ushered in the attack. So just be what God's called us, godly people. People with an excellent spirit, integrity, character. And if the devil does attack you, he will have to pay the utmost farthing. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we certainly do not compare ourselves to Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, to Daniel, to Nehemiah, to many of these great people in the Bible. But yet, we're standing for you in our day the way they stood for you in their day. We know, Lord, in the days of Nehemiah that there were some people there that hated him. And they made a false report. They took a little bit of truth and mixed in with it and sent a letter back to the king.
And they said, search the history of this city. It's always a rebellious place. And if you allow this to go on, this building of this temple and the rebuilding of these walls, these people will turn against you. They said this and this and this. But it wasn't true. In the days of Ezra, they said similar things. When you stood there at Pilate's hall, they took excerpts of what you had said. But they warped it, they twisted it. Lord, help us to realize we are not going to be criticized, persecuted. They're not going to bring the truth of what we believe. They'll take just enough of what we believe and mix it and make us look awful and terrible. But that's to be expected. Lord Jesus, forgive me. There's been many a time if I could have found a ladder out of these dens I've been thrown in, I would have been tempted to climb out. As a man, I might even have turned around and put my foot on the first rung of the ladder as it was, or the second, to get out of it, because it's scary. To feel the hot breaths breathing against us. I'm so glad that you became a man. So whenever we face those fears and our face turns hot and then chills go all over us, which any of us that have been scared severely, we know that fear, sudden traumatic fear, can cause chills to go over our body. Our body temperature to fluctuate, even our blood pressure to change radically in a matter of moments. How many times have we stood there, Lord, and felt those changes come over us? But when that feeling left, and we looked over in that office, maybe the doctor's office just told us he found a growth. Or we stood in our boss's office and said, I've got to let you go. And the fear overwhelms us. But all of a sudden, if we could just turn over in the corner, we'd see that same one that Daniel saw. Oh, Jesus, I need you today, Lord. I need you like never before. Lord, many of these folks have been serving you for many, many years of their life. But we need you like never before, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us to be ready. May our integrity remain the same. May we not turn on our spiritual noisemakers, as it were. But may we fling open our windows toward Jerusalem. May we pray with all the integrity of our heart. May we sing like we've never sang. May we stand for you like we've never stood. We ask for wisdom, all right, Lord. But your wisdom. Help me, Lord, to never compromise. Give me wisdom to know what to say, when to say it, how strong to say it. And wisdom to know when I've said enough. But give me, oh God, courage. And the gable end of my soul. But I'll never compromise in this Laodicean age. You could let me have been born in the days of Noah. Or in the days of Luther. Or Wesley. I could have been born instead of 56. I could have been born in 1906. And I could have went to the Branham Tabernacle. Or followed the prophet of God around. But you saved me for this last time. Just like you did many of these people. You did it for a reason, Lord. We don't want to fail you, Father. We want to be true, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many need strength today in your walk, in your test, in your trials? Each of us is different. For some of you, your business people, it might be a lot of it dealing with your business, just one deal after another. Some of you, your family. With me, it's ministry and preaching and being contacted from people around the world. Lord, children, you don't have an idea. You don't have an idea. But each of us, what we face, God will give us strength. Maybe you stand in your lion's den today and you feel the breath of that savage beast. You feel it breathing right on you. You feel the chills, as it were, going up your spine, and you're afraid because you're uncertain. But let that feeling pass you. Look over in the corner of your den. And see who's standing there, that milling light. Oh, glory to God. Would you just raise your hand to Him today if you need strength and help? And if you don't today, God bless you. Maybe you're on the up cycle.
Maybe you just come out of a great trial. I want you to look around at the hands of the people here. If you're not going through something yourself. Hundreds of people. And I'm sure you know it. We have a bigger audience that streams us than we have that sits here every Sunday. Thousands. I wonder how in Europe, Africa, England, New Zealand, Australia, all over the world, they got their hands raised. Or they'll raise them tomorrow, raise them tonight, whenever they go back and archive this. May the angel of God go down to New Zealand. May the angel of God visit those saints there in Melbourne, Australia. May the angel of God go into the Congo. May the angel of the Lord, hallelujah, go to Canada, go all over the states, go around the world. Lord, as your children are gathered in churches today, in the central time zone, the eastern time zone, Lord, wherever they are around the world, Lord Jesus, we need strength. We need courage. Lord, it helps us to know if you're the one who put Daniel in, you will bring him out one way or another. And this way you chose to bring him out alive. But in some instances, Lord, they carried out a hand out of the Colosseum or carried out a garment that they wore. You allowed them to go in, but you didn't allow them to come out whole because you needed some bride seed to be sown. And we are the fruition of that seed. How many of our brothers and sisters were eaten up by lions in the arena? How many of them were cut in pieces, torn in two between wild horses? Slain for this word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But it was a seed that was sown. And now, Lord, we're living in the harvest cycle. We don't know what we'll go through. We know we're not anointed, Lord, as they were. We're anointed with a flying eagle, which means we're going to fly out of this world. Sometimes the prophet makes statements where it seems like the bride will see some things. Then I hear him saying, cross the mystery of God reveal. They'll never shut her up. She'll be taken up. So no doubt you left it that way. So we wouldn't know exactly. But we do know this. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know who holds tomorrow. And our faith is not so much in the deliverance. Our faith is in the deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't know what you'll allow us to go through. But we know you'll be with us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Let's stand our feet, shall we? Oh, Jesus. Great Adonai. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Oh, Jesus, I adore you. I worship your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Here we are at the end of the Gentile kingdom. All through this kingdom, they have persecuted the elect. But here we're at the going home cycle and she'll be taken away. May he strengthen us here today, church. Whatever you need in your walk with God, let your hands be as it were antennas to where you can receive from the presence of the Lord. Whatever you have need of, he's mindful of you. Sing something, Harry. Lord Jesus.
I've heard how Christians long ago were brought before the tyrant's throne. They were told that he could spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. He chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny, like a great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to Now the years have come and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. Our time has come for us to count the cost, to reject this world and embrace our cross. Let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
My heart, with my soul, my strength, my mind. Strength,
oh, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God,
the Lamb of God.
I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your flags in. Hang it, fly real up tall on the pole, up like this. Hallelujah. We're not flying the flag of ISIS. It's not the flag of the United Emirates or the United States of America. It's the flag of redemption. We wave these hands that used to hold cigarettes and beer bottles and whatever more. Now they're holy hands. Amen. They've been washed by the power of Calvary. Our souls have been cleansed. Glory to God. Amen. And now we're heading home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We count it an honor to be able to worship you today, Lord. To adore you. To magnify your name, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Brother Louis, would you come? Let's just give him a little wave now. Would you take your Bible, maybe your handkerchief? Let's give him another wave offering. Come on, before we go. Oh, hallelujah. He's worth it. What did Daniel do when the pressure come against him? Daniel made a prayer of thanksgiving. He began to thank God. Things going bad for you, things in trouble in your life, don't stop praying. Don't stop praising. Praise Him like never before. Know that He's mindful of you. He's mindful of where you are. He's mindful of what you're going through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed.
precious blood I found pardon, and my sins, they're washed, they're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. That you love me, I'm so amazed. How much you really care. Through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins, they're washed, they're all washed away. All my sins, they're washed away. Sing it one more time as you go. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm so amazed how much you really care. Through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins, they're washed, they're all washed away. All my sins, they're washed away. Lord, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm so amazed how much you really care.